Well, you know, Bentwaters, that Air Force base in England that has been sort of shared by American and British forces, especially back in 1980, it has perhaps more firsthand British and American military eyewitnesses to high strangeness in that December week of about December 26th through the 28th than any other known case that I know of. But as much interaction as there seemed to be between an advanced craft and even non-human entities that some people described, it was not a crash. It's been described as maybe a landing to repair something. And Peter, I wondered, in all of the research that you have done, does this imply to you right at the beginning that there may have been some communication between whatever it was inside of whatever it was down in Rendlesham and us in RAF Bentwaters?
Well, yes and no. First, it was almost all Americans, because Bentwaters at the time was completely an American RAF base. On the third night, the big one, where the craft appeared in the field called Capel Green near Woodbridge, we have the men ordered to surround the craft. And at a certain point, a ranking officer, we feel that was Gordon Williams, the wing commander at the time, steps through the cordon of men, nobody is armed, and he faces off with these three beings. Now, we know, in human terms, probably 70-80% of all our communication is nonverbal. In that sense, a human being looking at three non-human beings and them looking back at him, certainly there was communication in some sense. But I think it's been spun a bit, and, you know, at its wildest points, we gave them a candy bar and they gave us a pen from Jupiter. You know, I mean, it gets silly.
Well, you are going to one of the cruxes of the story that has at least been anecdotal by several eyewitnesses, including Larry Warren, that you work with, about a high-ranking American authority having some kind of face-to-face with one or more beings. But even before then, what I had heard is that a strange metallic-sounding or mechanical-sounding voice in perfect English with no syntactical accent had come into the base receiving station saying that they were on peaceful terms and they needed something and that they wanted to land. Did you ever get that from anybody on the inside?
Nothing that I've ever been able to confirm. And I know I frustrate people sometimes because I really stand on the points of what we know, what we believe, what we understand, what we fear, and refuse to cross those lines, so I just can't confirm it.
But you've heard that?
Yeah.
Okay, now.
But it's rumor mill stuff. I've never heard from anybody that was there.
Let's say we've gone past Christmas night. It's into the early wee hours of December 26th. And all of this light activity that has been reported by John Burroughs and others, it starts. So, from your point of view, is the evolution that things were very confusing on the 26th, became more confusing on the 27th, and that there were not or was not an interaction with a solid craft and entities until the night of the 28th?
First, the time frame is still a subject of controversy. It may have been the 27th, 28th, 29th, we're not sure. The basic schematic is this. On the first night, lights were observed from the weapons storage areas of the bases, and those are the nuclear weapons storage areas. And as you know, part of the backstory is that we had nuclear ordnance on base in full violation of our treaty with Great Britain at the time.
Exactly. That is something that came out in the Bentwaters investigation that we were violating.
And I should insert right here, because I think people shake their heads when they hear it from an unspecified source, that seems to be going beyond the pale. We know for a fact that beams of light that now we would compare to, say, a laser pointer being shot through a fog were shot down from these craft into the weapons storage area. We know that they were shot into the area where Halt's group was. Halt told me, himself, sitting across the table from me.
This is Colonel Halt, American Colonel.
Colonel Charles I. Halt, who was he was Lieutenant Colonel at the time, deputy base commander of the base, told me face to face when Larry and I met with him some years ago that these beams of light we can't explain the physics of it, but they penetrated the bunkers. These are layers of earth, steel, concrete, earth, steel, concrete. And his wonderfully chilling phrase was they adversely affected the ordnance. Now,
and first-hand testimony from my own brother after Vietnam, being based at Malmstrom, craft set down over the missile kilo silos in Montana. My brother is part of helicopters going. My brother knew firsthand that we took an entire missile out of a kilo, that a big, it was described as being 300 feet in diameter, orange fluorescent glowing, sat right down over the missile silo, and they took the missile out, and my brother knew firsthand that the targeting information had selectively been changed in a missile. And to this day, that is one of the single most classified events. What was that targeting information changed to? What happened in Bentwaters for the beams? What was changed there?
Well, the good news is that they didn't go off. So in adversely affecting them, it was a Cold War adversity that we probably couldn't push a button and aim them at Moscow. But something happened that Halt would not go into any more detail. I think I was amazed that he even told us that much.
Did he ever acknowledge to you about beings, entities?
No. No. I have to say here, I think that there is a certain amount of wedges that have been historically driven between these men. Let's remember the whole thing broke because Larry Warren went forward in 82, worked with Cause as lawyers at the time.
Citizens Against UFO Secrecy.
And that resulted in 83 in the release of that one-page document we now call the Halt document. So there was no love lost there, and there's certainly some animosity. Halt said flat out to us, you know, this wasn't really a good thing for my career.